to rest and abide. That's something you really need to know and understand in this generation. You're coming up on that time period when you're going to hear of great depressions, wars, rumors of wars. All these things need to be before the end comes. But when they cry peace, 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 total peace, you want to watch out. But are you immune? There is an inoculation that you can receive from the Comforter. That is simply to know the truth that enables you to rest in Him, to abide in Him. And do you know something? He promises He'll look out for you. I mean, there may still be some rocks in the road, but you know something? You're a man or a woman or a child of God, and you can cut it. When it's too rough for everybody else, it's just right for you. You can handle it. That's why God chose you, to hear truth and to know and to understand. We're going to pick it up in the 11th chapter of the great book of Matthew. Jesus has just been confronted by the apostles of John, the Baptist, that is to say. And many miracles had been performed, and some of the people from these cities, they just still didn't believe after they had seen the miracles. So he picks up in verse 25 concerning this. He even told them, he said, you know something? He said, Chorazin and Bethsaida, if the miracles that have been performed in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they'd have believed. They would have. Look at Nineveh. Nineveh believed when they saw Jonah from the whale. They were not of Israel. They were not, we'll say, Christians. And certainly they became believers. But these people were stubborn. And therefore Christ comes forth with this message. Chapter 11, verse 25, and it reads, And at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father. He's talking to our Father. Lord of heaven and earth. All inclusive, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Properly translated, what it means is, it would seem that the wise and the prudent can't quite get this, but you have put it forth in such a simplistic way that a child can understand it if you have eyes to see and ears to hear. And so it is. That's what truth is always like. True wisdom is to take that's complicated for the wise and prudent and put it in a language that anyone can, a child can understand. That's how God's Word is. And Jesus was thanking our Father for that miracle that when put forth simply, people can hear and people can understand. Verse 26, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Our Heavenly Father liked that. He liked the simplicity in which Christ delivered. 27, all things are delivered unto me from my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Whoever can see, have eyes to see the simplicity of the truth as he brings it forth. Whoever can hear with their ear the simplicity of the saving power and love of Almighty God as he intercedes, as he comes to you, as he touches you. That's our Father's love for you. Verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's a promise. I don't know, have you ever claimed it? All ye that labor, that are under a heavy burden, come to me. He says, talk to me about it. When you talk to me about it, I'm going to see to it that you find that rest, that you rest from it, and that God leads you and protects you, and you'll be just fine. Okay? So what do you do? You come to Him. How do you do that? Verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. That goes deeper than flesh. That means to your eternal soul you will find that rest. You know what that is? That's peace of mind. Peace of mind in this age, in this time, is a rarity. Not too many people possess it. Because of the confusion that Satan brings into the world through Babel. And confusion, where it's difficult if you can't filter out through the Holy Spirit what is right and what is the simple way of God saying, hey, if you'll come to the Son, you see, there's no other way. If you'll come to the Son, the Father will take care of you. That's where you will find that rest, that peace of mind. And He will see to it. You see, He sent a comforter. When Christ left us, He did not leave us nor forsake us. He sent the comforter, which is God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And that Spirit loves you and cares for you if you love Him. That's how you come to Him, is by admitting that love, seeking it, and asking His protection and His help in whatever you do. And simple? You bet it is. But it's real. Christianity is not a religion. It's a reality. It's real life. Let's talk about the yoke a minute. You know, the yoke is a place whereby you place the hames or the tugs. And if you just put a tug around the neck of the animal, it would cut in. It would be brutal. You would have sores on that animal. Many of us are old enough that we worked horses. And even collar, when you use hanes and collars, sometime in a real hard work time, sores will develop even under the collar. But without the collar, it would cut to the bone. So what Christ is saying, put on my yoke and that load you're dragging, be nothing to it. You can cut it. But you've got to put on His yoke, which is His love. He's meek, meaning He's humble. He's easy to approach. All you have to do is let Him know you love Him and hook those tugs or to the yoke itself, which is Christ. And He says, I'll take care of a lot of that load for you. You see, a lot of that is worry. Some people just love to worry. Just give me anything to worry about. Why? You know, why would you want to when you have promises like this? Saying, put on my yoke and lighten the load. That's just like saying, in other words, you're still going to accomplish the same thing. You know why? He's going to help you. It's His yoke. And that's what the Holy Spirit is about. Christ uses terminology that is so simple, such as a yoke and a tug, and the working of an animal. Agriculture has a little advantage when it comes to understanding the word, I think. Because it makes that load easier for you, whereby you can cut it, you know. He didn't say He was going to take care of all of that load for you. He's just going to make it a lot easier for you because He wants somebody that can get it done, all right. That's what true Christians are about. So, therefore, that's why you put on His yoke, and that rest will come to you because the load lightens to the point. It's manageable. You can cut it. You can handle it. Verse 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. His yoke is easy to put on. Do you ever talk to Him? That's, you know, He listens to you. He loves you and He wants to hear from you. Do you know what God wants from you through that Spirit? Is your love. And when you let Him know you love Him, He'll knock a lot of those rocks out of the road for you. Otherwise, if you enjoy stumbling around in the dark with Satan, go ahead. Hey, it's your prerogative. It's your way. Now, there was a time that people were so busy doing God's work, they needed a break. Turn with me to Mark chapter 6. How is it when people that are doing church work, that are following God, how is it that they get this rest? Does Christ realize how tiring work can be, especially in a ministry that is just boom, boom, boom? People need that ministering. They need that work. They need that help. They need that information. And it can get to be a long day sometimes. Well, how do you handle that? Christ's teachings, Mark 6, verse 31. And this is Christ. Things have really been popping, and Christ says to them, and he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart unto a desert place and rest a while. In other words, pull away from this crowd. Let's go out to a desert place where we can have some privacy and you can rest. This is kind of an object lesson in what's most important. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. They didn't even have time to eat. That was fantastic. God's work was being done. And they were really putting the word out. Verse 32, and they departed into a desert place by ship privately. They slipped away in a little boat. 33, and the people saw them departing, how hungry they were. And many knew him and ran afoot thither out of all the cities and outwent them, outran them, figured it out, and came together unto him, starving, craving truth, craving that rest, craving that leadership. They could hardly contain themselves, that they were willing to drop everything. They gave them no rest. Okay. They ran around the shoreline until they caught where they were going to disembark. And 34, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people. There was a crowd. And was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. No rest, but that in itself is rest. In trusting him, loving him, and knowing him. That the sheep need that shepherd. He is that shepherd. Our Heavenly Father, through that Son, is that shepherd that continues to feed, to take you to good pasture. That means good knowledge, good wisdom, good advice. And you know the main thing? There's nothing pleases him more than to be able to bless you, to help you, to touch you. And here, even though they were tired, exhausted, trying to find a little solace where they could even have a square meal. And here they were begging for truth, for the simplicity of God's word. Listen, we're in a time like that now. People are hungry. They are starving to hear the real word of God, chapter by chapter and verse by verse taught. Grows like wildfire. People wanting to hear. And that's why when God blesses the word, his word, you can't go wrong. Why? He's going to bless you too. So, regardless of how tired you may be in witnessing or experiencing or just sharing with someone, a word of wisdom, a word of truth, in the simplicity, don't ever be one of these complicated, muddy-the-water, muckety-ducks. Okay. But you don't understand, brother. I have a deeper truth. No, you got a bunch of nonsense. That's what you've got. Christ didn't teach a bunch of muckety-ducks. He taught in simplicity that a child can understand, in clarity. And he never refused them, though they had gone there. Here came the crowd, hungry, starving. What did he do? He fed them, told them many things. 35, and when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, "This is a desert place, and now the time is far past." They don't hardly have time to go to a town and get something to eat. "Send them away, that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." And naturally, you know the story from there. Christ said, "Well, wait a minute. Feed them." Feed them what? The famine in these end times is not for bread. It's not for two little fishes. Famine in these end times, as it's written in the book of Amos, is for hearing the word of God. For hearing the real truth, the guidance, the simplicity that brings God's blessings when you take on the yoke that takes care of the hard stuff whereby you can handle the rest. Then all you have to do is ask Him. Talk to Him. That's how you find rest in Him. Now, to fully find that rest, you must abide in Him. Turn with me to the great book of John, chapter 14. John chapter 14, and we're going to talk about actually being with Him. Being with Him, though He sits at the right hand of God, as your advocate, as your attorney, not between you and God, but between you and your troubles in this world. Putting on that yoke and taking care of those troubles, making them a little easier for you. That's called blessings from God, when you talk to Him. Let's take this 14th chapter, let's pick it up with verse 1. "Let not your heart be troubled." Will you please stop worrying? That's what it means. Will you please stop worrying? "You believe in God, believe also in me." That's what it takes. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go." This word mansions is monit. It means a resting place. This is how you find that rest. It's not some big castle out in the never-never land, right? It's a resting place, a place that you can find peace of mind. A place, and I would advise everyone, if you've never checked it out in the Greek, take your Strong's Concordance and do it so you know you're not talking about pie in the sky. Because this is for now. This is for those that wish to enjoy it now. That is to find the resting place, to abide in Him and stop your worrying. Verse 3, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again." It's a guarantee, promise. "And receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Well, what is this Holy Spirit? It's Him. It's the Spirit of God. His name is Emmanuel, God with us. Some people have difficulty grasping that, but God saw fit when they wouldn't listen to Him talk on the mountain, frightened them. Then He came born of woman. The living Word became flesh and walked among us, simplifying it, where you could communicate, where you could hear, where you could enjoy that presence. And that Holy Spirit does come. It touches your heart. It lifts you up. Do you know why they call Him the Comforter? Because He comforts you. You don't have time to worry with that comfort totally absorbed in your heart, mind, body, and soul. How precious it is. "And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." In other words, you learned in the book of Ecclesiastes where I'm going. You learned in Psalms 22 where I'm going. You learned in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, who I am. A virgin shall conceive, will have a man-child, and you will call him Emmanuel, which is to say, God with us. That's where your answer is. If you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. old doubting Thomas is good for us because a lot of people doubt. Okay, let's see what he's got to say. Verse 5. Thomas said unto the Lord, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? I mean, here he's walked with them all the time, and he didn't realize that Christ is the only way. You either do it Christ's way. He's the path you have to take. He's the living word. But Thomas, he's a little caught off guard, and you can be the same if you're not real careful. 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way. And I am is part of the sacred name. Okay. I am that I am. I am the way, the truth, the life. That's eternal life. No man, I'll repeat that. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's all inclusive. That upsets some people. Sorry. That's the way it is. If ye had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Well, let's see him. Let's show him to us. They were looking at him. Emmanuel, God with us. That's simple for some, and some can't see it. Just cannot understand. And how clear and how simple it is. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffice us. We'll be happy. 9, Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? You see, it was so written by the prophet Isaiah. His name was Emmanuel. And it's even interpreted for you from the Hebrew. God with us. In other words, God saw fit that he loved you enough. Because people would say, well, God can do anything. I mean, after all, he doesn't live in these flesh bodies where they suffer from the heat and the cold and whatever. He's God. Well, he came down and showed us how to do it right. In the flesh, in the heat, in the cold, in the danger. And told us how to do it without a bunch of whimpering, like a bunch of wimps in distress. And let his power and his name come forth in the simplicity of one that has ears to hear and eyes to see, to know when you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. For he was Emmanuel, and he was with us. And verse 10, Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth, this is that word mono, dwell is just like that word mansion. It means abide, be there. In me, he doeth the works. That's meno. Okay. To dwell in Christ. Do you know what that feels like? It's a really good feeling. It's to touch the Holy Spirit and to know that Holy Spirit. To feel him. Verse 11, Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. In other words, if you can't believe my word, look at the miracles. You know, people raised from the dead. And the blind seen. And those miracles performed to give credentials to unbelievers. This is Messiah. This is God with us. And so it is with that wonderful word of God. That he promised that spirit that would come to us as he's just about to do here. And verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. How possibly could some disciple of Christ do greater works than he did? Well, you know something? They traveled by foot, by burro. They traveled by boat. sailboats, not motorboats. Do you understand what we have today that are miracles? If you somebody from that time looked, here at this location, we can push one button and go all the way around the world in nanoseconds and reach millions of people right in their homes. But do you know who does it? He promised it. Said it's going to happen. Greater things than those large crowds, greater things than feeding even, would take place in a larger feeding. The feeding of the Word of God. And no man can take credit for that. No person can take credit for that. He said it. He acted upon it. He did it. He will use whomever He chooses. And we are all equal within that labor. Verily, verily, I say unto you, we got that, okay, verse 13. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. This is, a lot of people say, well, boy, I can just ask for whatever. What's he talking about? The ministry. In other words, if you have a ministry and you want to you need some bricks to build a building, he'll give you the bricks, but you got to do the work. You got to do the building. But ask for it. You're looking at living proof right here. That's the way it is. He'll give you whatever you'll use to further his word, not yours, his word. You won't have to beg to get it done. He sees to it. Why? That's his word. And he's real. He's true. And so it is. Verse 50, if you love me, keep my commandments. How could you help it? If you love him, you're going to keep this word. Why? Because that's where your blessings come from. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. There's that word abide again. Meno, resting place. Abiding with him, finding that peace. There is no other. And how long was that for? Forever. You don't have to wait till heaven to receive that comforter. You don't have to wait till heaven to find that rest. It's here now. Just love him, talk to him, and enjoy. 17, even the Spirit of truth. Well, what Spirit is? It's the Holy Spirit. It's God's Spirit. It's the Spirit of Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth, there's that word again, dwelleth, abideth, with you and shall be in you. If you partake of him, the simplicity of a child to believe and to receive that power from on high, to be used of him, for him, and with him. Why? He loves you. Have you ever wondered why he created me? Well, your DNA is different than anybody else's. Your fingerprints are different. You're unique. There's nobody else like you. He created you exactly the way he wanted you. He may not like what you're doing, but he does love you. So return that love and do it his way. 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. That's now. Do you need that comfort? I just want to worry a little bit. You know, I've got a lot of things I need to worry about. Oh, you poor, miserable soul. You know, you've got him. Why would you do that? What's wrong with you? I just feel better if I could worry. Oh, my poor thing. You know, I'd like to counsel you privately for about 10 minutes, and I guarantee you, you'd have a different attitude. Okay? That's the way it goes. He will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but you see me. Why, he's here. The Spirit, the Comforter. Because I live, you shall live also. That's eternal. It's forever, dear one. All that day, at that day, you shall know what that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Skip to verse 23. Jesus answered and said, if any man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we, plural, we will come in unto him and make our abode with him. There's that abode. There's that forever with you. That's how you find love. That's how you find rest. And that's how he abides with you. Do you know the proof of Christ's teachings? How simple it is. You see, everything we read there, he says in about 8 verses in the next chapter. I mean, taking away all necessarily that is spiritual and putting it in a labor person's language. But it says the same thing. In conclusion of this lecture, let's read it. Chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. This is an action. Do you know what a vine, a vineyard is? It grows grapes. Okay. And do you know who the husbandman is? He's the one that takes care of the plants. To every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. He crops it off. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it. He prunes it a little bit, that it may bring forth more fruit. Anybody that tends a vineyard knows you got to get that dead wood out of there and trim it up and purge it and prune it, and it really produces. Do you think not that he does for you? You're that branch. And sometimes he may have to clean your act up a little bit. A little clip in here and a little clip in there whereby you can produce more fruit because you're happying him through the Holy Spirit. Verse 3. Now, ye are clean, or you are pruned, through the word which I have spoken unto you. This brings it right down where a child can understand. Your pruning comes from the word itself. That's why you want to rightly divide it and absorb it, whereby the word gets your act together. Because that brings the blessings of God. We're not just playing church here. This is a reality. That's what true Christianity is about. Up verse 4, here comes that word again, abide in me. It's mono. And I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. That's the only way you can produce fruit, is to have him, is to be in his spirit, to have that spirit in you, touching you, and you enjoying his word, and he leading your life. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, you that are hooked to me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. You know, a lot of people, if they could just see that, it would change their lives. Without me, you can do nothing. And you know what? There's a bunch of do-nothings in this world. I mean, scads of do-nothings. Because they don't have him. And that's what the blessing comes for those that simply say, Father, I love you. Use me. Don't know much, but I'm willing to learn. Handle it. He will. Talk to him. Communicate. If a man abide, there's our word. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Many of you, in any time there's pruning, you know what happens to an old branch that gets clipped off? It dies. It's good for nothing. So when God tries to do a little pruning on you, you say, you kiss the paddle and say, thank you, Father, I got it. I see. and follow him. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, don't overread that. My words abide in you. You shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. You can count on it. Okay. That's in the ministry, in your ministry, in your gift. Everyone has a gift of some kind that makes up part of the many-membered body. And if you don't know what it is, ask him to show you. He will. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue you in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide, there it is again, in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. It's a family. It's the Christian family. We're almost through. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Do you know that he did that? He was crucified on that cross written 1,000 years before the fact. And he did it for you because you're not perfect, and he knew you needed that repentance and forgiveness. You are my friends. Do you understand? That's Christ talking to you. If you do whatsoever I command you, henceforth I call you not servants. Get this family tie here, the vine and the branch. I don't call you servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me. We come down to the election here. But I have chosen you and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. You want to bring forth fruit? Find your gift and use it. I guarantee you that fruit will come forth, and there will be less pruning in your life than you ever could have imagined. Rest in him. That brings peace of mind. It's so valuable in this generation. Be wise enough that you understand the Word of God and can see Satan's plan. For he's wiggling and he's using it. He's frightening people. But God has told you, I give you power over him. Use it. Use it in your family. Don't put up with nonsense. Discipline in the Word of God. God will be with you. He will give you that rest, and he will abide in your very heart, mind, soul. He will abide in your family. So don't be one of these, well, I just hate to give up on that. I just need to worry again. Don't give me that. It won't fly. Because our Father is not a doubter. He's a provider. He provides love, direction, guidance. Most of all, he loves you and he provides blessings in your family. Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, for the Comforter. Thank you, Father, for the comfort today that we don't have to wait. He's here. We appreciate it so much, Father. May the word go forth, Father, throughout the world that brings peace of mind and a place of abode to those that are homeless, spiritually, in need that direction. We ask it in Yeshua Jesus' precious name. Amen.
The mark of the beast.